good lesson this morning. I want to keep some of those same thoughts, very, very same lesson in mind, but I'm going to approach it from a different passage, a different standpoint. But let me just say this. Excuse me. Is what Brother Thomas has said, does that give you something to praise the Lord about? The deliverance that we have? The release that we have from the condemnation of sin? Does that cause you to want to glorify the Lord? That's the expression I'm after. Glorifying the Lord. Does that cause you to want to do that? I hope it does, because there's a lot that he said that should cause us to want to give glory to God. Now I got a question for you. Think about this past week. What all you've done this past week, and how much of that gave glory to God. Mighty quiet. Let me ask you this. Does the Lord deserve for us to give him glory? Really? Okay. How much glory should he receive from us? How much? So how much has he received this week from us? Preacher, move on. If we all agree that he deserves all glory and praise and honor, and if Brother Thomas had taken time to read that whole psalm, there's a lot of praise to God for the things that he talked about. If we all agree that he deserves it, then what keeps us from giving it? How about just speaking in terms of Piney Grove Church? Somebody were to come in among us and leave, would they say, there's a body of people that's praising God? Well, I hope the service is enjoyable. But if they know us through the week, would they say the same thing? There's a people that's praising God. You see, when we understand what we've been delivered from, when we understand what we've been saved from, eternal separation from God and eternal judgment, when we think about that's what we deserved, that all of mankind was plunged into that condemnation when Adam sinned. And I know we don't like to think about it. You know, I've heard someone a long time ago say, I think it was Elder Robert Torrance. He used to tell this little story. He said, you know, there's a man that said, I love a good hellfire and brimstone sermon. And Brother Torrance said, you know, I don't like to hear that. I don't like to be reminded of that. But it's good for us to be mindful of what we've been delivered from, so that we would give praise and honor and glory to our God. Because he didn't do it because we're so good. He did it because he's so good. So when we think about praising God, and we think about all that he's done for us, the deliverance that we have through his precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died, even thinking about what Jesus had to physically endure in saving us from our sins, it ought to cause us to give praise and glory to our God for all that he's done for us. And so when we think about how that we were lost, how that we were hell bound, you know, and Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read a little bit of this. We think about the deliverance that we have, and the Bible's clear about what we are or what we were by nature. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, chapter 1 speaks of the glory, so much of the glory of all the things that God has done for us. All right? So Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And you who hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." We weren't sick and needing rehabilitation. We were dead. We were in need of life. And being in that condition, we had no ability to seek it out. We had no ability to hear anything and respond to anything that we might have it. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And he describes something about our life. And to some extent, I think we should all be able to look at this passage and, like I said, to some extent, see what our life was like before we came to a knowledge of the truth, before God opened our eyes, opened our heart, before he gave us spiritual life and blessed us to understand what he's done for us. He says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." By nature. We all have that Adam nature. We all have that which even the Apostle Paul, after, you know, we know what he was like as Saul of Tarsus, but even the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, he speaks of, "Oh, wretched man that I am." We've got that old nature that we have to contend with. It drags us down every day. All right? But bless your hearts, when we remember what we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we remember that there is now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we think about what we have in him, it ought to cause us to rejoice. It ought to cause us to praise our God. So we, by nature, were the children of wrath, even as others, but God. I love that expression, don't you? No matter what we were by nature, but God. And I want you to listen to this in terms of why we should be praising his holy name. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There he speaks of the mercy of God. There he speaks of the love of God. God being rich in mercy and the great love. And you can't tell me how great that is. We can't measure the greatness of our God. But when we think about the greatness of our God and the mercy that he's had upon us, that ought to cause us to rejoice in the God that we're blessed to know. The purpose of my heart this morning in emphasizing this is because in John 15, when Jesus is speaking about he's the true vine and ye are the branches, later on, I'll get back to that in a minute, but later on in verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Herein is my Father glorified. Here is how we can bring glory to his name. All right? That you bear much fruit. All right, now, let me read a little bit more in Ephesians 2. We'll move on. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Not only the mercy of God, not only the great love, but the grace of God. Unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. That's what God has done for us. That's what we have in our Lord and Savior. That's what we have in our God, who loved us before the foundation of the world, who sent his Son to this world to save the people that he had chosen, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we could be with him in glory. That deserves praise. That deserves giving glory to his great name. And it deserves that every day we live. Right? How are we doing on that? How are we doing on giving glory to his name? Do we really and truly believe this? My prayer for Piney Grove Church is that we could grow more and more and more in giving glory to God every day. Because when you do that every day, then when we get together like this, there's more of his spirit that each one of us has brought to this meeting. And that is what we need above all else, is the Spirit of God. We need that. And so when we exercise ourselves in giving glory to his name and thanking him for the blessings and thanking him for the knowledge that we have and thanking him for who he is, we exercise ourselves unto godliness. It puts ourselves in a better frame of mind so that when we go out into the world, we're better able to handle the temptations that we face. We're better able to give a good witness to the truth. We're better able to live according to this word because we're walking closer to him. When we're giving him more praise and honor and glory and thanking him for the blessings that he's given us, they're walking closer to the Lord. You draw nigh to him, the promise of scripture is he will draw nigh unto us. All right? Now, he goes on to say, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I'm not waiting for heaven's pure world for that to begin. It's right now. Right now, when we're blessed to understand who we are and what God has done for us and what we have to look forward to, we can praise his holy name right now. And every day we live, all right? Now, I asked the question a moment ago, how much time have you spent in the last week giving praise and glorifying his name? You might be saying, well, I could stand a little improvement. Me too. All right? I'm preaching to me too this morning. All right? But don't completely give up on that idea yet. If you remember in Matthew 25, I'm going to turn to that. Matthew 25, when the king divided his sheep from the goats, God's people being his sheep, and he placed the sheep on his right hand. And he makes this statement. Matthew 25. Let's begin in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I believe Brother Thomas touched on that, didn't he? That's been prepared for a long time. Okay? For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous, who are they? They are those that God has made righteous. When he sent his son to this world who shed his precious blood, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's for everyone that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. And if you're listening to me, you hear that these are the things God has done for us. Heaven will be our home because of what God has done for us. But the enjoyment of this life will be determined by how much, like Brother Thomas said, how much we follow his word and do his will. Then shall he say to the righteous, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee? Now wait a minute. That when you start thinking about there's a people whom Jesus has cleansed by his blood. And then when the Lord begins to address them, they may not see themselves as such. But listen. Then shall the righteous answer him, say, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now let me ask you that question again. How much time have you spent glorifying God this week? Have you saw anybody who had a need and did something to help them? Did you see somebody who was discouraged and offered up a prayer for them? Did you hear of somebody that was sick? Did you pray for them? You see, just like these righteous here didn't realize they were doing anything that was glorifying to God, he said, if you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And God was pleased with it. So what I'm saying is the things that glorifies God are not just words that come forth from mouths that sing praises to his name. They're also actions that express love among individuals. You know, certainly we want to express our love one to another in the body of this church. But I'm telling you something, it's important for us to express love toward others when we leave this place. As we're living our life in the coming week, whatever opportunities, if we see a need that we can help with, if we're willing to do something to be a help, If nothing else, if we can pray for that individual, if we can visit somebody, give a call, whatever the case might be, if we're having a desire to let the light shine forth from us that God has given unto us, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Giving glory to God is not just words and expressions. Bless your hearts, it's compassion, it's love, it's fellowship with others, it's doing for others. That constitutes, that results in giving glory to God. When others see our good works. All right? Now, I want to come back very quickly to John chapter 15. Just give you a kind of an idea. I may read a few verses, but in verse 1, the passage begins by identifying the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the vine. Okay, this chapter 15 in John, Jesus is speaking of himself being the true vine. All right, what I'm getting to is verse 8, where he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Okay, bearing spiritual fruit, obviously, comes from those that are born of the Spirit of God. But there are also those who are involved in following the Lord and seeking his word and understanding what he's done for us and giving praise and glory and thanksgiving for all that he has done and all that he continues to do for us each day. And in his faithfulness, we can trust that he will continue to bless us in the days ahead. For all of those things, we give praise and glory to his matchless name. And we need to be in that mindset. You know, I hope that what we receive here, we can carry with us when we go out those doors and carry it with us as we go out into the world next week. To remember to give praise and glory to his name each day we live. I'm afraid sometimes people have, you know, they kind of compartmentalize religion and then work and then whatever. But bless your hearts, we're the Lord's children all the time. And we want to give praise to him by the things we do all the time. All right? We want to live according to this word. So, John chapter 15, "I am the true vine," Jesus says. "My Father is the husbandman." The Father is the one who's in control. All right? And Jesus speaks of himself as a true vine. Now, the lesson that he's getting to in this portion of that chapter about bearing fruit, he identifies himself as the vine. All right? "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You know, there's times the Lord purges things in our lives. I believe Brother Thomas touched on that a little bit. He purges things from our lives. There's some things in our lives that are just not good for us. And so there's times when the Lord does that purging. All right? And I could say more about that, but I want to get to this. He says in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You're clean. There's a cleansing in the word of God. Don't we need that on a daily basis? Our mind needs to be renewed with the things of God. Our heart needs to be touched about the things of God. Our mind needs to be reminded of all the good things that God has done for us, and especially the salvation that we have through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those thoughts, the reminders of his word, the reminders of his promises, the reminders of his power, his glory, his mercy, his love, and his grace, I tell you, it has a cleansing effect upon our mind, our heart, our conscience. And it helps us to stay grounded and focused upon how we should live our lives to the glory of God. But then he goes on in verse 4 to say, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Do you see what he says here about bearing fruit? If we're going to do those things that bring glory to God, then it's going to be greatly enhanced when we abide in him. And he tells us why. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. What I want to emphasize is that giving glory to his matchless name for his goodness and mercy upon us is greatly amplified when we remember the greatness of his glory and the goodness of the things that he's done for us. When we're thinking upon those things is when we give him praise and glory. When we're not thinking about those, when our mind is just totally occupied with the activities and the things of our job or the things that are pressing upon us in life, we're not giving much praise and glory to God. If we're totally consumed with the affairs of this life, then it chokes out, like in the parable of the sower, it chokes out the effect of the word. And so we need this constant renewing. We need this constant cleansing. We need this word on a regular basis. For without, he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. What happens? We're talking about a grapevine. If we cut that branch off of the vine, what happens? How much fruit can you expect it to bear in the future? Zero. Not one grape. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Well, let's see. He's already said we're the branches, right? And where's the fruit born? Out on the branches. All right? No more can ye except ye abide in me. Do you see how important that is? That we abide in him. How do we do that? How do you abide in him? Well, I tell you, you need to be thinking about him. You need to be reminded of his word. You need to be reminded. Now, there may be times when we've got things going on in life that's just pressing upon us so that we don't have a lot of time to sit down and read the word. But hopefully, if that's the case, you've got some of the word treasured up in your heart that you can meditate upon it, that you can think about it. If nothing else, surely you can remember some of the 23rd Psalm, can't you? That's a powerful passage that speaks of the ability of our God to take care of us, who the things that he's provided for us, how he leads us and how he protects us and all of those kinds of things. Just thinking about the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. I tell you, that causes me, when I remember that, it causes me to want to rejoice in the Lord and give him praise and glory for all that he is and all that he has done for us. All right, so he says, abide in me. That means give him some thought. Give him some space in your mind and in your heart. Give him some time to think about his goodness and his mercy and his power and his glory and all that he is. Give some time. You know, if you really love somebody, you want to spend some time with them, don't you? Well, do we really love the Lord? I mean, listen, he really loves us. You know how much he loves us, don't you? He gave us the very best he had. He gives us the best that he has every day. He's given us the best of eternity. He saved us from the wrath to come. He's given us so much. How is it that we cannot give him a little of our time every day? I hope you are, but if you're not, I'm exhorting you to change. give him some time. You know, time's a precious commodity, isn't it? Give him some time in your mind and in your heart to say thank you for what you've done for me. It'll make a difference in your day. It'll draw you closer to the Lord. You'll feel more of his presence. You'll see more of his work. You'll understand more of what we have in the Lord as we live here in this life and look forward to the time that Jesus comes again. Abide in me. There's three words in this chapter that teaches that lesson. Abide, remain, and continue. Keep him in our mind. Thankfully, he's in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. But we don't always think about him, do we? I understand he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But we don't always follow the prompting of his Spirit. We don't always do what he's working in us to do. May God help us to be more sensitive to the promptings of his Spirit, to the leadership of his Spirit. May God help us to spend a little time each day, a lot of time if we can, but as much as we can, to remember his goodness and mercy upon us and to thank him for it. Give some praise. And when we see others, if there's something that we can do, it might be as simple as reaching down and picking up something somebody dropped and handed it to them. Just a little gesture of kindness that shows you care will identify you as one who's willing to show the love of God in your life. I mean, it can be as simple as that, can't it? Maybe an encouraging word. Maybe you see someone who's obviously having a bad day. And maybe they say something unkind to you, but maybe you have the spiritual wits about you to say something in kindness back to them. See, if you respond in kind, you could escalate the situation. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. Kindness. Show kindness. Represent the Lord Jesus Christ in doing what others need, in showing love to others, regardless of what they're showing in their life. We're to let our light shine, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. All right? Continue on. Verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Well, that would remind us here about how much fruit bearing we can do if we're not thinking about the Lord and his goodness and his mercy and his word. We want to bear much fruit, right? So he goes on to say, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that is not just some statement that would say, oh, well, all I got to do is just ask God for this and I'll get it. No, he prefaced that by saying if we abide in him. When we're abiding in the Lord, when we're walking closely with the Lord, when we're walking in fellowship with the Lord, then we're concerned about his will more than our will. And we're walking according to his will. John would tell us later in 1 John, whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. So he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done of you. Then verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. When Jesus said of those that he referred to in Matthew 25, they were doing those things, and they said, Lord, when did we do this? He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Can you see in that there's a tremendous opportunity for us to serve the Lord by serving those in need? There's a tremendous opportunity there. Now, it's good for us to give praise and honor and glory from our own lips. That's a good thing. But we have many opportunities throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. We have many opportunities where we come into contact with someone, where we could give a kind word, where we could do something to encourage them, where there might be something that we could do to help them. I don't know. But if you're looking for those opportunities, they'll show up. Herein is my Father glorified. Do we want to give more glory to God from our life? You know, I want somebody else to do it too, but I want it to be from my life. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. If we can think about the goodness, the mercy, all that God has done for us, it should cause us to give him praise and glory. But we can also give him praise and glory by showing love to others, by letting our light shine, by making choices in life that's consistent with his word, by letting this word rule our behavior, our decisions, our choices. May God help us in this coming week. And don't stop there. Let it continue. But may God help us to be consciously aware how much glory am I giving to his matchless name. May God help us to increase that. May God help us to give more glory to his name. You'll never give him more than he deserves. No. That's why he's given us eternity to praise him. It's just long enough, right? Yeah. To give glory due to his matchless name. But what a sad thing it is for one of his children to go through this life without giving any praise to the one that loved us and gave himself for us, that we might be with him forever. May God help us to walk more closely with him and bear fruit to his name's honor and glory. May God bless you is our prayer.